Hello to another episode of Open Science Radio, this time number 127. It's the 2nd of July 2018, and today we have some special guests here. But at first, hello, Matthias.
Hello, all.
So today we have a lot of guests around, and we have a special topic, namely it's about CarpentryCon. And whatever this is will be explained in a second. At first, I would like to say hi to Malvika.
Hi.
Hi to Fotis.
Hi.
And hi to Tracy.
Hello.
Okay. Before we actually dive into everything, I would like to maybe start with Tracy, quickly give an overview what the Carpentries are, and then later on we talk a little bit about you guys and how you are connected to this. So Tracy, maybe you can give a small overview what we will talk about today, actually.
Great. Well, thanks so much for having us on this podcast today. We're going to talk about CarpentryCon today. So a little bit of background about who the Carpentries are is probably useful. And I know you've done another podcast before with Greg Wilson around software carpentry. So the Carpentries is a recently merged organization of software carpentry and data carpentry. And we're an organization and a community that teaches foundational coding and data science skills to researchers worldwide. What we're going to talk about is our first event where we actually got people from this worldwide community together in one place. Because what we do is we teach workshops and we develop curriculum, but we also train instructors in how to teach computational skills. And that instructor community and the people who work on lessons and mentor each other, that community element is really the core and the strength of the Carpentries. We really talk about it being a community of practice.
Okay. Yeah, whoever would like to revisit the episode that we had together with Greg Wilson, who is kind of the founder of that, can listen to episode 38. Maybe you should give a very short overview about the what happened on this CarpentryCon. But first, I would like to maybe know your personal connection to the Carpentries. Maybe Tracy, you can start. What are you doing there? How did you get into the whole Carpentry project?
Sure. Yeah. So I started with the Carpentries in 2012 as an instructor for software carpentry. And then in 2013, we adapted some of the curriculum to be more focused on working with data as the sort of data science and data, the inundation of data occurred. So we refocused some of the curriculum, and me and a few other people co-founded Data Carpentry. And so then since then, I worked on Data Carpentry. And then in this last year, when we merged software carpentry and data carpentry into the Carpentries, I'm now the executive director of the Carpentries organization.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Malvika, what was your path into this? And I have to admit, a little bit disclaimer, I'm kind of was involved in this as well. So Malvika, let me know, how did you get into that?
So this is a great question, Conrad, because you are the reason I got into this. I was Conrad's PhD student, and Conrad and I both share a lot of passion about open access and making things available for everybody. So Conrad, you were going to go to take a training on being an instructor. And somehow we were talking about it, and you said that I should also write an email to Greg and see if there's a place, and it happened that there was. And then I got trained, and over a period, I really liked the concept, and I just stayed on.
Yeah, I think we are some good examples of the people who did the remote course, and we did this together. So this was very interesting for both of us, and we shared a lot of our experience then together afterwards. So this was really, really nice, and a very nice experience that I can highly recommend.
Definitely.
Okay, Fotis, how about you? How did you enter into the whole thing, and what are you doing now?
Well, I got involved in the Carpentries basically sort of by accident. I was looking into finding a solution to one of my coding problems, and I came across one of the lessons. And because I was doing training in any case in my university and for people I was working with, I sort of got interested. I was in one of the online trainers training for instructors. And from then on, I was really hooked and got as much involved as possible.
Great. Thank you, guys. So coming back now to the core topic today, basically CarpentryCon. Malvika, what exactly was now this CarpentryCon? Can you explain this maybe?
Yeah, so as Tracy was saying, that over a period, the community has grown a lot, and a lot of things that we do, for example, teaching people or instructing new trainers, maintaining course and so on, a lot of this happens over online. And people do recognize each other by face, but we have, not all of us have had any chance to meet in person. So the idea of CarpentryCon was to really have this first in-person meeting for everybody, to be able to share their experience with each other in terms of keynote lectures, skill up sessions, breakout discussions, and workshops.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, if we look back, how many people are in that community in total, and what is basically the and how many were then on that CarpentryCon meeting?
Yeah, so I think a little bit. Photos to add on this, but to summarize, we were more than 10 organizers from the volunteer community and from the within staff members from the companies. And we ended up having 120 participants from all over, including all of us.
Wow. Yeah, maybe photos, maybe you can explain a little bit how the whole thing developed.
Sure. It was actually a very interesting way of getting to CarpentryCon in terms of organizing. So first of all, it took way over a year to fully organize that, and close to a year and a half actually. And it was also a false beginning. So the first steps, people first of all realized that CarpentryCon was really necessary. It was something that everyone was excited about. So we start in the sense that it could be done in a very short time, but starting then we realized that maybe we need to prepare a bit more. So basically the true organization part started a year ago, May. And this included getting people to bid for venues across the world. And we had, if I recall, 8 different submissions for venues to host CarpentryCon this year. All of them were wonderful, very great place. So it was quite difficult for us to actually select the one that CarpentryCon ultimately took place. There were several members on the organizing committee. Me and Malvika were the co-chairs. Belinda from the Carpenters, a sir from the Carpenters, well, took a lot of work in getting things out there for people to see and read about. Mark Laufensweiler was an on-site facilitator and basically helped in solving a lot of problems along the way. Daniela Quinn was our social media guru, especially during CarpentryCon. She was really, really good at engaging people over Twitter. Ivo Ari was also another key member of the task force. And I should also not fail to mention Norma Davey, which was a local contact at the venue host. And without his help, a lot of things would not really happen in the end. And these are just the core members of the task force. If you actually look at all the people that got involved in getting there, it was way over like 20 people at least.
Mm-hmm. And what was the initial point? I mean, were some people sitting together at a beer, or was it at a conference, or how did this all start? I mean, when did somebody say, okay, we need a CarpentryCon, or was this around since several years and just wasn't addressed focusedly, or what was the approach here? What was the starting point?
So I don't know if we really know where it all started, because I think Greg Wilson, Jason Williams, and a few more people were already talking about it and were having plans about it. I think both of them, I joined on the road. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it is that right for you too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
yeah,
the idea was floating around for quite some time, as far as I recall. But we never actually went out and make it happen, except the last year.
Yeah, so we joined like last year when they had to go on and do more important tasks, and we were like, sure, we want to make this happen, and we got way more interest from other people from the community, the carpentries along the way. So this was definitely personal interest. Sorry.
No, I can imagine that. I mean, knowing people from the carpentries in general, I mean, they're very enthusiastic, so I can imagine all the energy floating around there, and that you got a lot of support.
That
this was more or less fun. But I can also imagine that it was rather hard work. So but you weren't being pushed to do this, but you did this voluntarily.
Right. I think it is. Yeah, it's like the carpentries community. There's always so much enthusiasm for ideas. So this has been around for a long time, and it was really the task force that made it happen. So it's, and even in 2016 at the Data Carpentry Executive Council meeting, we were talking about this and being excited about it, but also trying to appreciate the time it takes to organize these and give that little longer runway that Fotis talked about. Because it does take a long time to plan these global events and really make it welcoming and inclusive to everyone.
Yeah, I guess the carpentries, they have a high standard regarding, as you said, inclusion and all these kind of different aspects. And as far as I could follow it on Twitter, you really succeeded with that. So I guess there was a lot of time needed to setting this up, and ensuring the high quality was not an easy task, I can imagine. Let's maybe focus on the hard facts. Where did it take place, and how long was it, and so on?
I'm going to jump in and let other continue adding information. So it took place in O'Brien Center of Science in University College Dublin. And as Fotis was saying, that we got a lot of interest from different places. And the reason we chose Ireland is because of the political issues that, you know, visa is considerably easy to get for Ireland. It was easy to get to Dublin because of the international airport right there. And also we had support from the local people. And it took place for 3 days, from 30th May to 1st June.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned already it were roughly 120 participants. Can you say anything regarding the distribution of people there?
Tracy, you want to add?
Oh, sure. I think you had just looked at some of those numbers, right, Malvika?
Yes.
So what you can comment on that. And then I can follow up if there's other.
Yeah, so we were about 120 applicants, and of which about 43% were female, 53% were male, and 6% were non-binary or didn't want to disclose their gender. In terms of geographical distribution, we had 16 participants from South Africa, all of which got travel support from the CarpentryCon, plus the travel support from the African Task Force. And then we also tried to include the volunteers from Latin America, and definitely there was huge interest from Europe, US, and Canada.
Mm-hmm. Do you know already the focus of the members? So were they coming a lot of from life sciences, physics, or any field that was dominating, or was it evenly distributed? And were people more, let's say, focused on the, let's say, software carpentry part, or more on the data carpentry part? Or was this also, if you can spot this, right, or if you can discriminate between that, but was there any dominance, or was this equal?
So in terms of field, we did have a lot life science, but there was new interest from social science, and we did have a lot of core computational people who were definitely required because of their experience.
Okay.
I think there also is a lot of representation from the libraries, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a lot of people in the life sciences in general associated with the carpentries, But this did have, so it still had quite a few people, but it was great to see, as Malvika says, social science, libraries, physics. So it was a pretty diverse group in terms of that type of participation as well.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, especially for myself, now kind of working in a library setup, connecting stuff there, because the library carpentry is kind of having a strong growth in the last year, maybe 2 years, as it feels like. And interesting to see that several of those were there and connecting to the other carpentries. So what was your feeling regarding this? Do you see also the strong growth there, or what are the gaps and things that they're looking for?
Yeah, so it's really been interesting. You're right. There's been a lot of growth in library carpentry and the carpentries in the libraries. And it's sort of this curriculum by and for librarians, with librarian being a very broad term. There's a lot of different types of librarians. But for librarians to get trained in these skills for their own work, but also in terms of being able to help train other researchers, be an advocate for these kinds of skills. I think the other thing that's really interesting is within libraries, libraries within universities have a very centralized role. So they do have an opportunity to work across campuses in a way that's a little bit different than if things are coming through departments. So they're well placed to work with the broad community and have this interest in data and a growing interest in software and archiving software, open source software, and open practices. So there's just a lot of alignment and energy around that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great to hear. I mean, we had the discussion here in Open Science Radio often, and I think it's very important to underline the importance of the libraries and actually the connection of the libraries to the other parts of the university. Also in that, in the role of preserving new types of research outcome and supporting in good practices regarding all facets of open science. So this is a growing demand and, well, needs new skills, right? And I think the carpentries in general provide a great source for these skills. So I really see a lot of potential here, and I guess there will be a lot more growth in the near future, and especially there, not only in library carpentry clearly, but there it might be bigger because the community just kind of is starting now that phase that maybe the sciences have already behind them. Okay. What was the concept there regarding funding? I guess you had some sponsors there, right? And you also had some fellowships. So I guess you had sponsors that were partially supporting this. Can you maybe talk about this a little bit?
Sure, I can speak about the sponsors. So our main sponsor was the Sloan Foundation, and then the next level was the Moore Foundation and Mozilla Science, and then we had another list of sponsors, and maybe Malvika could talk about those too. So traditionally, the Sloan and Moore Foundations have been strong supporters of the carpentries. The Moore Foundation gave the initial grant for data carpentry, and the Sloan Foundation is currently, we have a grant around infrastructure and curriculum development and making that easier for collaborative open curriculum development. So we were really excited that they wanted to support this event. And then Mozilla is another organization that we'd worked with. So it was nice that these sponsors were pretty tied to the community already. And I think that's partly what motivated their sponsorship of this event. And Malvika and Fotis and the task force all worked really hard on this, as well as working with the other sponsors too. And maybe Malvika, you want to talk about some of those?
Yeah, so I think Fotis and I invested more time in looking for local venue-related sponsors. So UCD Dublin, they kindly offered us to use their location, obviously, but beside that, they allowed us to apply for a grant so we can pay for their insurance. So at the end, we didn't have to pay anything to UCD. And there is something called FileShare Ireland. It's a government body which offers a certain amount of money to any scientific event that happens in Ireland. So I suppose Fortis, I and Tracy wrote an application overnight, and we got it, so it was really great. And then we also had Software Sustainability Institute and Python Software Foundation, who gave travel sponsor. One thing to add was Christina Koch, who personally donated quite a lot of money just so others could come to Carpentries. And for this week, do you want to end with a couple of those? We haven't heard your voice.
Yeah, sure. So in addition to that, we had also a gift sponsor, which was Overleaf. So Overleaf basically gave a proof account to everyone that participated in CarpentryCon, so that we could be able to work also collaboratively through the service. And I think there was also a prize sponsor from our studio and the Jackson Laboratory, which was for particular people with the best poster or something along those lines. But I think that was, these are the major funding sponsors we had.
Hmm. A lot of the usual suspects that are often funding these kind of events. So I guess a big thank you to them. Maybe Fortis, maybe you can continue a little bit about actually what happened on CarpentryCon itself. So maybe let's have a look at the program and see what kind of things were done there. Because I think you not only went for talks, but you had actually a lot of different formats there that try to, well, fill different gaps and try to fulfill different purposes there. Maybe you can talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So we basically aimed for an unconference type of an event, so not necessarily the traditional form of a conference. So it was over 3 days, as we said earlier, but the first 2 days were mostly in the sense of two keynotes per day, but everything else was more community driven. In terms of formats, we had the skill up sessions, the breakout sessions, and the birds of a feather. But all of those were open to the community way ahead of time. So everyone in the software, in the Carpentries communities, had the option of submit an idea for a session and get some traction behind it so that people can go together. But in addition to that, we always had a couple of rooms available for people who just wanted to hang around discussing about a topic that they were interested in. The skill up sessions were extremely useful in my mind because they allowed to talk about particular skills that are part of a professional development but are not necessarily discussed about or talked about in traditional conferences or other generally applicable setups, from project leadership or tips and tricks with R or with Excel. So everything that is useful for people in the community, but it's not something you can get easily. And also, as I mentioned earlier, we had the keynotes, which were amazing. So we had the keynotes for how the African community is building up the Carpentries, and how they approach this way. There were also a very interesting keynote from Aurora, from Valerie Aurora, about allies and how to build allies, which really resonated with the entire community. And the third day, in terms of a program, was just workshops, so people could come in and discuss and learn about a particular topic that was discussed over the past few months. And this includes an HPC Carpentries discussion, an Elixir-based discussion, and also the an Allies workshop that was given by Valerie.
Mm-hmm. Can we maybe dive a little bit into the presentation regarding the developments in Africa? Because I think this is a very interesting community and that there's a lot of work happening right now. So maybe you can shed a little bit light on this aspect, what was maybe presented there.
Sure. So Anelda van der Walt is sort of leading the Carpentry community in Africa. And is so it was a very interesting keynote because by itself, it was Anelda and the entire African task force. So people were coming up and giving their perspective of how gotten involved with countries, how they deal with workshops in different countries and different setups. And what really struck me is the huge interest and the excitement and enthusiasm that you can see, not only from the African Task Force members that were present at CarpentryCon, but that were evident through the photographs that we were seeing. Plus, there was giraffes as well, so that was awesome.
Great.
We will have videos available for the keynote lectures in a couple of weeks.
That's great.
And as Fortis said, it was just a unique talk and the entire task force.
Oh, really looking forward to those. So this is great. And also the format of skill ups, I haven't heard or I haven't participated to. Maybe you can dive a little bit deeper into this. You mentioned already a little bit of that, but can you explain, somehow how this is structured and what is happening there exactly?
Sure. So I think the intent, it was really nice going into this conference that there were real goals for this conference. And one of those was around professional development and development in teaching skills. So the task force thought of this model around these skill ups, where people could essentially propose that they will offer to teach a session on something that people might be interested in. So some was around giving presentations and building communities. And so then they all got slots ahead of time. And then at the meeting, these different people put together these sessions and ran them. And I think that was definitely something that really people appreciated and spoke to our community's interest in contributing as well as learning, that these were all self-organized and that there were so many topics that people were excited about that I think were a little different than a regular conference because they had kind of more this professional development perspective than exactly, how a research kind of talk format.
That sounds very good. And what were your personal favorite formats of that? I mean, if you think about, you had several ones. What was your favorite one, Malvika? What did you like most?
So I really like the breakout sessions. And the reason being that it seemed like we started a conversation and the idea was not to end the conversation at the end of the session, but really go on talking about it until we have chance to do that. And it just was like a very stimulating thing that happened in each session.
Fortis, what was your favorite format?
I would have to agree with Malvika on the breakout sessions. And the reason I quite like them is that there was no sense of here's an expert talking and everyone else is just following or nodding along. It's like people that are interested in the same topic, everyone contributes their own piece of advice, if you like, or their own perspective into the topic under discussion. So it was more like a structured discussion in a specific time slot rather than an organized traditional session. And I really enjoyed that part.
And Tracy? What do you think? What was your favorite format?
I admit I also liked that format, although there were some skill up sessions that I couldn't attend that I wish I could have. I think especially because we're globally distributed, that opportunity to get everyone in the room and have kind of that real-time conversation. And I really like how Malvika phrased it as really sort of starting the conversation or continuing the conversation. I thought that was really meaningful.
Is there any way to kind of, store that and to make this open to others? I think it's hard, right? Because you have to be part of that conversation there. Or have you written this down? What are the takeaways of us, for example, of a breakout session? What was your strategy there? Or is it possible to kind of make a shareable thing out of such an event besides recording videos? I mean, of talks, this is easy, but of these more interactive elements, how did you deal with that?
So from the beginning, we were using GitHub Even when we were planning, we were recording our minutes there. And once we knew that the conference will happen and conversation will happen simultaneously and we won't have chance to hear each other, we also created a repository within repository to be able to record what was happening. So we are at the moment trying to compile everything, but it will be available for everybody. A lot of the leads from the sessions have already summarized their session and put it up as a blog on the Carpentries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were several Carpentry cribblings regarding that. So sounds like a great event that I've missed. What a pity. And what are your personal highlights and maybe takeaways? I mean, I guess such an event and knowing, as I said, the Carpentry community, I can imagine that this is kind of a transformative event. Maybe it's a little bit exaggerating, but I think this has a certain impact of behaving and thinking. So maybe Malvika, what was your main takeaway of that?
So for me, from the beginning, CarpentryCon was about promoting inclusion and diversity because the Carpentry stand for that. So one of the things that we definitely focused on was to how to make it accessible for everybody, independent of where they are located, how much money do they have. And at the end, the conference was able to achieve that because the last session that I ran, I asked a question about, can you share one experience? And most of the people said that they all felt a sense of belonging. And my favorite, and I think all of us would agree that the favorite statement by Ian was nerd wanting to help each other. And that summarizes, and this was definitely my personal highlight.
We need a shirt for that, right? Yeah, great. Fotis, what was your highlight or main takeaway?
Right. So I have to say that I've been to several conferences, but this was the only conference-like event that I participated in that I felt emotional about. And it left an emotional impact to me after it. It's not just the inclusion, diversity, not just the sense of belonging. It was really like seeing and communicating and resonating with other people about things that you feel strongly about. So after leaving CarpentryCon, there was this sense of I felt complete these 3 days, and now I have to wait for another year to have the same emotion again. So, yeah.
Tracy, what was your takeaway or highlight of the event?
I think Fotis captured it in the. It really was a different meeting in terms of the emotional aspect to it, in terms of, I think what we were saying about inclusion and equity and the things that we're excited about. We wanted this conference to represent who we were as a community because it is such a great community. But what I didn't expect, it was really when we got together that the emotional feel of that. And I think what people will remember and looking at what people are saying is not what we did, but how it made us feel. And that was just really different for me than any other meeting that I had been to. I miss everybody already.
I know that feeling because I was also teaching courses, software carpentry courses with people or with instructors, or actually one instructor that I haven't met before. So we met actually on the teaching trip, and this was awesome. I mean, I think it's such a great community. As I said, maybe we are all the nerds wanting to help each other. This is just a fundamental, great attitude that everybody brings into that, and this must be awesome, right? Yeah, great. But you also asked some other people around. So in the preparation to this interview, you asked around in your community, and you have some other feedback. So maybe Malvika can present those. So some other people said or mentioned what they took out of the whole event.
So I can add for Belinda, because I think Fotis actually truly said what it felt for all of us. We were quite emotional. I think most of us could not attend everything in the conference. We were running around. but just to be able to see how everyone else felt. So Belinda put it in this way. She said that I met and talked to most people there. The size made it possible to get to talk to so many people. Loved the generosity and spirit and the range of ideas. I also think some events have kind of magic vibe, and this event had that for me. It was very special.
Great.
And another I can add for Danielle, she wrote a very nice blog, and I highly recommend people to read all the blogs that are coming out continuously from the community about their thing.
Great. Yeah, and I think CarpentryCon wouldn't be a real Carpentry event if there wouldn't be a lot of feedback happening, right? I mean, this is so essential to, and whoever has not participated in a software or a data carpentry workshop or a library carpentry workshop might be not aware of this, but feedback is really an essential part of all this. And it's, I would even say feedback driven, right? After each session, you try to get feedback. Have you been too fast? What was good? What was bad? Trying to get this and put this into, well, into the next session, basically, and try to evaluate this and make yourself better. And this is something I think that especially these carpentries teach you for life, right? That you always question what you're doing, that you put your ego aside and accept feedback and trying to make yourself, making your course, making the world a better place, maybe. Okay, maybe it's getting too much, but feedback, you see, I'm also rather emotional about this topic, but I think feedback is an essential part of the whole carpentry community. So I'm pretty sure you collected some feedback regarding CarpentryCon. So maybe you can touch this a little bit. So what were the main responses, Malvika?
So Carrie Jordan was taking care of the feedback. So we had it in place for each session. But I have to say, I would just summarize what was the main feedback of the conference. There was huge response from people about sense of belonging, and that everybody learned a new skill at the end. Many people just said that everyone should attend it at least once, and I hope we can organize it more than once for others to be able to do that. Some of the feedback, which were obviously for our next meeting, would be that location should be closer to the city because UCD is quite far from the city. And then obviously people loved meeting each other. So Tracy and other from the staff, they came up with the idea of Carpentry Connect, which could be a local solution for people to meet when the Carpentry Con is not happening.
Well, that's great. May I ask a little bit? So would this be monthly, weekly meetings, or what? How do you consider this? Or would it be annual meetings? Or how would this look like?
So they're regional meetings. So a global meeting where everybody comes together requires a little bit more coordination. But the local communities, I think something that really came out of this meeting that we've been hearing too is a real interest in forming more local communities where people can get together more frequently. And so there's this idea of Carpentry Connects, which are small regional meetings. And actually the first one of those just happened in Davis, and Fotis is there right now, and I happen to also be there. So it was more, the idea is that a regional group organizes them, that local people are the ones mainly involved, and the structure can vary depending on the local site. So Davis just ran one. It had a fair bit of unconference style to it. And then there's another one already planned for September, Carpentry Connect Johannesburg in South Africa, that Anelda Vanderwalt and John Stein and others are organizing. So it sort of fills that gap in between these more global events, and also lets the local group decide what makes the most sense for them for a meetup.
Great. No, this sounds like a great, great format to spread this even further and facilitate exchange for the instructors and anybody interested in that. Awesome. Sounds good.
I was actually thinking along some different lines when I heard Carpentry Connect first, because we've seen with other larger community-driven conferences such as OpenCon or some events like the Mozilla Science Global Sprint, I think it's called, that you have something like satellite events taking place at distant locations, but at the same time as the core event if you want to call it that. And what that does is to take up the spirit that exists at this event and just puts it or transfers it or mirrors it in another place. And what you can see there is interesting. Interestingly, something that also happens with other global mainstream events, that you have quite a bit of more coverage when it comes to reporting about these events. You have quite a bit of drive that you can pick up coming from remote parts of the same community. So maybe that's also something interesting, because I think it would be even something that could even contribute to the program or to the community building, because of a CarpentryCon addressing such a global and diverse community, it would even maybe offer the chance to make those voices a bit more amplified that haven't heard yet so loudly in this choir of the community. Maybe that's something, just a random idea. And that was my initial idea when I heard Carpentry Connect, because it would be something like a perfect name for this.
Sounds really cool. But I have to say, there's something that's happening within the Carpentries. It's called, Tracy, can you help me? What is this bug?
The bug barbecue.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Bug barbecue, where at the same time, people from different countries come together to work on certain material. It's not same, but like in the, you know, different time zones, but working together.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I like that idea, though. We'll put that on our... We have actually, I appreciate your comment about feedback. We have a super long debriefing document from CarpentryCon. For every section, what did we do? What worked? What can be improved? And so we're already, thinking about how this one went and trying to capture that information for the next round. So that could be something that to add to that list.
Mm-hmm. So Fotis, what was the... What could have been done better? I mean, we talked about feedback, so was there also something that you guys think should have been done better or can be done? I mean, this was the first iteration, so according to what I read on Twitter, it was great. But maybe there were also some suggestions that, what could be better and what could have been done in a different manner?
Right. So it was the first time that CarpentryCon was organized. So this by itself was a challenge. And I, speaking for myself, this was the first major international event that I've ever organized from ground up. So I was learning along the way of how to deal with things, including sort of emergencies that come up along the way. So hopefully next time around, this won't be much of a problem. Another issue, another challenge, is how to make people reply and give feedback on during the event. So we had people, helpers, Danielle, Malvika, running around between the sessions, up and downstairs, putting around seats for people to actually see that the service around and they should provide. There were also some unforeseen issues. Like baggage being lost, not being delivered to the airplanes, that the dinner was, the venue was too loud or too slow for, I don't know, giving dinner, giving dessert. But those are, in my mind, minor points. The most critical part and the challenge and the thing that could be improved in the future is the way to interact with your participants, both before CarpentryCon, during CarpentryCon, and after CarpentryCon. So like the pre-CarpentryCon assessment, CarpentryCon feedback real time, and after CarpentryCon, what could be improved. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds reasonable. And I think that the desserts are being served late is, I would call it, a first world problem. That sounds very good, I guess. This is really already fine-tuning. So the big question that's for me now in the room, and I missed it this time, will it be there another one in the near future? Are you planning to have another instance of that?
Yes, definitely. We are already thinking about the next one. We're thinking of having them in 2-year intervals, at least for now, so that we can kind of capture what we learned from this one and then start planning the next one. As Foda says, it takes really more than a year to do that planning. So we're recruiting now for the task force for CarpentryCon too. So that's really exciting. And I think this is, the feedback was that this was something that we should do again. And I think we'll be able to have a little more of a roadmap for the second task force. This was really the pioneer crew. And so just even knowing timelines, they did awesome work putting together rubrics and forms and all that will make that second round even a little easier.
So guys, will you join this task force again?
Want to add one thing here. I think it would actually, so we really enjoyed working. Like sometimes it was super stressful, but I think we knew what we were getting into, so we were fine with that. What I want to add is that we got amazing amount of support from the carpentries as volunteers. So even though most of the people in the core task force were not from carpentries, we were planning programs and how to do it, where to do it. But the core staff members, they helped us with the budget. They helped us with, you know, taking all the administrative responsibility away from us so we could really focus on something we're passionate about. So it's a pitch for the new members who are planning to join us. And I hope we can continue serving on this, is that all they need to bring is their passion into it, and this will be taken care of.
Sounds great. So whoever feels now the need for joining this, I can imagine that this is a great opportunity to meet a lot of cool people and prepare a great event. And I think this is really something unique in your life, right? I mean, this is really great. But I guess as commonly you need funding for this. So would you still take, I guess you will not say no to this if somebody brings now and money and would like to sponsor that event, right? I mean, hard to imagine.
No, we wouldn't say no. I mean, I think what's really important about funding is that it keeps it in a meeting that people can attend, right? Because we had sponsorship, we could keep registration costs low. We could support travel scholarships to make it the meeting that it was and that we really want it to be. It's pretty crucial to be able to put this together and make it something that people can afford and participate in. So that will be a part of the planning, is thinking about what those opportunities are too.
Yeah. And this has often been done a lot in advance because a lot of things are depending on all this. And I think maybe you should, or at least my personal perspective on this is that this can be really crucial. At least, let's say, in my environment and my surrounding, the issue is that research is so much more important than the teaching. Yeah? And carpentry is teaching. And trying to get funding or get travel grants or travel money from your boss or a grant, whatever, for this can be rather tough, I think, yeah? Because people in the sciences are often more focused, well, on the research that brings you paper and so on. While the teaching is something, well, that you have to do, but shouldn't be done too much because you're wasting your time there, and maybe a little bit radically speaking. But I guess this is really essential that you build upon a strong funding support in order to make this happen, also for people coming from countries where this is even harder to find money for these kind of purposes. So I think maybe also call here to the community, whoever is working such an organization that is kind of connected to these kind of ideas, maybe can contact, I guess, Tracy, right? Or who would be the responsible person for that?
Me is great, or even the CarpentryCon task force email would be good too. Yeah.
And I guess also location is needed, right? I mean, you will do the same thing as before, that locations are kind of competing for that, or what would be the approach there?
Yes, I think this worked out really well. We will do another bidding when we start planning it. And I think location would be our first thing to look for. because this was definitely a crucial thing when we are planning, for example, will there be a childcare? Will there be a quiet room? Do we have enough room and so on? So to plan all these, we definitely need a location and look out for the bed.
Would you also aim for the same amount of people? Was this basically good and should not be scaled up because it would lose its kind of character? Or would you say this can grow to a certain amount? I mean, do you have already a strategy regarding this? Or is it also depending on funding and the revenue?
So to be honest, in the beginning, we thought we will have 200 to 250 people who would attend. And over a period, we became realistic about there would be 100, 120. And we were actually quite happy about that because this was the exact size we could have seen each other and talk to every single person. But having said that, I think you're correct on the second part that it would depend on how big the location is, how much money do we have. And if anyone's interested, we would not turn them down. So it would be definitely up to how it happens.
Okay, so but people can already mark it in the calendar 2020 at some point, yeah. So if you say after 2 years, roughly, right? So this is, I guess, the aim now, and you're looking for people. So whoever feels now the need to join, I think you will happily welcome them there. Have we missed anything? I think this is a rather diverse topic, and we could touch different parts here, but the aim was to give an overview about this activity and also, well, advertise a little bit the carpentries themselves and this great community behind it. Anything that you would like to add?
One thing I'd like to add is just want to, you know, spell out some names that are very important who we did not mention as a core members, for example, Erin Becker, Elizabeth Williams, Carrie Jordan. The three were quite involved in our travel aboard and inclusion diversity team. Then we had Berenice Batut, who was our official photographer. And then we had the executive staff from the Carpentries who were actually helping us as helpers in the session. So we can't really say all the names, but a few names were important for me to mention here.
Great.
I recognized something when I was looking from the outside, because I'm not, I don't consider myself as part of this community because I'm neither working very much with research software nor with research data, even though I participate heavily from it. But strictly looking from the outside, when I was first hearing about CarpentryCon and had a look what was going on and what is supposed to happen there, program-wise, but also community-wise, it kind of felt like there were two things growing together that have belonged together for a long time, namely the carpentries, right? The software carpentry as well as the data carpentry. And it made perfect sense because I couldn't at least separate them anymore by just looking at the program. It kind of was interwoven in a very useful way or sensible way. So if you would have the chance to choose or make up one additional carpentry to make this complete, what would it be? Do you feel that there's something missing that you would like to grab your hands and pull into this kind of event to make it even more run for those for the community?
Well, I think library carpentry is on that path. So there's already been sort of a vote by the governance group around library carpentry and the Carpentries Executive Council to have discussions about library carpentry being a part of this Carpentries umbrella. And I think that is important, what we were talking about a little bit before, and the real alignment and affiliation of libraries around data and software and, you know, helping other people.
As kind of it's kind of the backbone, right, to this whole, not strictly speaking infrastructure, but it's, so to speak, a reliable force that operates in the background that can always be referred to, consulted, asked for help if you need something to really incorporate into projects or these kind of administrative realms.
Definitely. There's also interest in the sort of research software space. So organizations associated with high performance computing where they similarly have a role of working with researchers around data and software, and have this focus around helping people, that sort of the number of people helping people around high performance computing and cloud computing is increasing. And as that's happening, that's another place where there's pretty natural alignment with what the Carpentries does as well.
And it will be really interesting to see what happens in 2 years' time from now, right?
I think it will.
there's a lot going on in this direction. So I'm looking forward to see your stake on the next program.
Yep, really looking forward to this.
We are also equally excited.
Great. Any other last words? Anything we missed, Fortis?
No, I think everything is sort of have been touched so far. The only thing I would like to reiterate is that if people are interested in participating and contributing to the next CarpentryCon, we are definitely looking for more people to join and sort of set the direction for the new CarpentryCon.
Great. Tracy, any last words from your side?
I want to echo what Malvika says, and we talk. One of our core values in the Carpentries, I would say, is gratitude. And I'm so grateful to everybody. I mean, just everyone who organized, participated, was excited about this event that made it possible. I do think that really speaks to the strength of this community. And one of our messages was, you know, you belong in the Carpentries, and continuing that message going forward for more communities and more people, and thinking about the ways to bring us all together, whether that's online or in Slack channels or at these events. So thanks, especially to Malvika and Fotis, who were amazing and just so great to work with, as well as amazingly effective. So that's it. I just want to say thank you.
Great. So this was really a pleasure having you guys, and thanks for your time and sharing all these insights here. And it hurts even more not having been there. So I hope in 2 years I can join, and I would really love to be there wherever it is. Okay, great. So thanks again, and talk to you at some point again after the second instance of that. How about that?
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Jason.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.
And bye, Matthias.
Bye, Matthias.